you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
What's up, everybody? Welcome into Tom Curran's Patriots Talk podcast, joined as always by the Senator Phil Perry, who is still in Buffalo at Highmarks Stadium. And Highmarks for the Patriots running game, Phil. This is the aftermath. Phil, big picture takeaways. I'm going to give you mine first. The Patriots are now in a commanding position in the American Football Conference. They went in, they emasculated their greatest divisional rival. There's inconsistent play among quarterbacks all over the AFC. We're going to dive deeper into the decision to just throw the ball three times by the Patriots. But that was a resounding message-sending kind of win that could only happen because of a confluence of circumstances that allowed the Patriots to flex their muscles. Phil, your takeaway.
This game was the game that we thought it was going to be, but on steroids. This was
large.
We think that this is going to be a game that's won in the trenches, that's won at the line of scrimmage. It's going to be about which team is tougher, which team hurts to tackle more, which team can pound the other team harder over the top of the head over and over and over again. And it was that times 100. So the Patriots run the ball 46 times for 222 yards, 4.8 yards per carry, even though they rushed for a total of negative 10 yards in the fourth quarter, which is remarkable to me, 232 yards through three quarters. And they weren't even all that balanced, Tom, within their own running game. It wasn't like they ran a lot of end arounds, or they ran a lot from shotgun, or they ran a lot of draw plays. It was crack toss right, crack toss left, lead draw left, lead draw right. Six offensive linemen on 61% of the snaps. It was the same stuff over and over and over again. And for the Patriots to be as successful as they were with that, Tom, I think really gives them an emotional lift, because it shows them and it shows the rest of the world they can win a game playing that style, which is one end of the spectrum. They can also win by throwing the ball 30 times, which they did just a week ago when Mac Jones was the highest rated quarterback in football. So this is a team that is riding high going into their bye week.
And that brings me to my slant, which is going to interrogate and be very intentional about investigating the reasons behind a three-throw night.
What is kind of going on with your fingers there? It's very distracting.
Yeah, well, Matt Judon, what do you got to say about the evening?
You know, just hats off to the offense, really, everybody. Probably besides Mac, he really didn't do nothing besides hand the ball off.
Everybody, I want you to get one thing straight. Okay, it's late in the evening, early in the morning right now, but get this through your skulls, because we're going to hear a lot over the next 24 hours. You probably consumed it already. When Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels let Mac Jones throw it 40 times on a rainy night in Foxborough in his fourth NFL start against the greatest quarterback of all time, in the most anticipated regular season game in decades, you knew then and had your answer as to whether or not they believed in Mac Jones. So all the horseshit that's going to come flying at you through your radio speakers, through your digital platforms today, about the three-throw night being an indication that the Patriots don't really believe in Mac Jones, that's just a way to cobble together 4 hours of conversation, okay? That doesn't hold up because of what the Patriots have done with Mac Jones throughout the season. This isn't Kyle Shanahan and Jimmy Garoppolo terrified of letting him, Jimmy, throw the ball during the 2019 Super Bowl run. So why did they do it, Phil? To me, Ted Johnson summarized it best. They did what they did because of the way their defense was playing. They realized that if you locked the Buffalo Bills in the gym all night long, they couldn't have scored 20 points. Now, toward the end of the game, it changed a little bit. But because of an absolutely cement-headed decision to involve N'Keal Harry on a punt return, which we'll get into a little bit, I hope. If it weren't for that, the Patriots would have been up 11-0 or 14-0 most of the game, at least. They didn't need to throw the ball, so they didn't throw the ball. And as a result, Phil, you alluded to it. In winning the way they did, by taking the heart out of the Buffalo Bills' chest cavity and showing it to them while it was still beating and saying, we just took this out of your chest. You thought that you were in charge of us, but you're not the boss of me. That made them have to really interrogate who they are as a football team, as an organization, as a community in Western New York. So why did they run it three times? Why did they throw it three times? Because they could. Phil, you got a slant or a reaction? Either one is welcome.
No, my slant is my reaction. You're 100% right. They didn't throw because they didn't need to throw. And because they knew that the conditions in which to throw sucked. And so why are you going to force it when you don't have to? They led the entire game. And I think had they been in a different spot and had they been going in the appropriate direction, there was one way to go. It was from right to left. If you were looking from the Patriots bench, you could throw in that direction. Patriots threw a couple times in that direction. So 67% of their throws went in that direction. But to be in the position that they were in with the defense playing the way that it was, I think they shrugged their shoulders and said, why? Say, why aren't you throwing the football, Bill? Why should I be? And they ran for 5 yards a carry. I mean, they were pretty efficient offensively. Didn't always look great. I mean, they were running a quarterback sneak, Tom, on 3rd and 5.
That was insane.
They had a third down package on the field. The Damian Harris run came out of 22 personnel. I still would love for there to be a nickname. We need to do a poll or something. I would like a nickname for the formation where Mike Owenu lines up next to Trent Brown and 700 plus pounds of human being with a 255 pound fullback behind them and a 230 pound running back behind them or behind the fullback. 22 personnel.
That's called payload.
Lot of beef. Payload, that's a good one. I've heard sledgehammer. I've heard total eclipse because those guys will block out the sun, the big boys there. Stampede, someone suggested on, whatever it is.
Let's kind of like payload. Maybe it's because I'm selfish and it all has to be about me, but I like payload.
So they run that formation out there, formation out there on third down. That's not a third down package in today's NFL. And they run for a 64-yard touchdown. So it was a unique game plan because of the conditions. I don't think I agree with you. Look at, you don't have to go all the way back to Tampa, although that's a good example. Go back to last week. They couldn't run it against the Titans. They couldn't. The Titans said, you're not going to do that today. And they had no success. So they threw it 32 times and they won.
Phil, you couldn't do this with a Kirk Cousins or a Carson Wentz or a Tom Brady or, I mean, really anybody. I mean, there's an element to this almost undeniably, that includes Bill Belichick saying, look, I am who I am and Josh is who he is, and we've done what we've done. So if I want to run the ball on 98% of the plays and still win the football game, I don't have to worry about getting poop canned. Nor do I have to worry about my rookie quarterback, because he wouldn't say poop if he had a mouthful. So the Patriots, what ulterior benefits do the Patriots realize from this, aside from just winning the game within their division and strengthening their hold? To me, you have caused a great amount of consternation over in the other locker room, which we'll get into. You've also proven a little bit, wasn't your goal, but it happened anyway, that while we might think quarterback is absolutely vital, I do remember a time when we ran it all night, just threw it three times and won against a good Buffalo team. So Bill has that in his back pocket now. It also causes, as Gil Brandt tweeted during the game, this is classic Bill Belichick and one of his greatest coaching performances of all time. Bill's got an ego. We understand that. He doesn't mind to see a genuflection here and there and a great round of celebration and huzzas directed at him and his football team. He loves that stuff. Otherwise, he wouldn't be star bleeping all those players over the years that he signs, whether it's Tebow or Hyde or Haynesworth or Ocho or whoever. They work out, they don't work out. He loves that shit. So all those are ulterior benefits to the Patriots doing what they did to come along with winning the football game. It's excessive. Throwing the ball three times and sneaking it on third and five and running it on third and seven and eight as many times as they did. It was excessive. Am I wrong to at least allow that?
What's funny is it's excessive in that sense. To me, this game plan was the ultimate show of restraint, though, Tom. I mean, it's excess in one way. It's restraint in another. When 99% of coaches, especially NFL coaches, would look at third and five and say, well, what are we going to do? Run it on third and five? No, we got to figure out a way to throw. So we'll throw it sideways. We'll throw screens. We'll throw tunnel screens. We'll throw bubble screens. We'll throw slip screens to the running back. We have to throw the football though, guys. Okay. We can't go into this game plan with five pass plays available to us and maybe only use three of them. Can't do it. Bill Belichick says, well, why not? And I think part of it, don't you think part of this is Belichick's experience in football?
Yes.
It's just, it's 60 plus years of him watching all different types of game plans, all different types of teams, all different shapes and sizes on a football field, attacking the same overarching goal in an infinite number of ways. And so he has seen, I'm sure in his mind right now, as they head back to Foxborough, he can think of a game plan, whether it was from Navy or from when he's in New York with the Jets and he's watching.
When Dave Jennings tried to punt. There was a win game with Dave Jennings when the ball got blown and Dave Jennings actually missed it. All-pro punter Dave Jennings.
Right. And he says, well, they did it then. Why can't I do it today? And I don't think there's another coach in the NFL that thinks the same way. That's why it was fun. It was a fun one for me to watch.
And I agree.
I hope it was enjoyable for people. Although I don't know if it was, I feel like this is going to go down almost a little bit like Super Bowl 53 as like one of the most boring games of all time to a lot of people. But a lot of other people look at it and say, man, that was fascinating.
Yeah. I thought it was too. We did our keys to the game and my key to the game in pregame live was the battle of the brains. And here's what I said prior to the game as to the coaching matchup.
This game is going to be unusual. It's going to put unusual stress on the head coaches to make decisions that are in the flow of what's going on. How are the elements impacting the kicking game? How are the elements impacting their quarterbacks, their receivers, the way they're doing everything? So be decisive, react to what you're seeing. And that's why I think the coaches are actually, and their decisiveness are actually where this game is going to really rest.
So that I just wanted to play that because that's kind of what I felt the game would come down to is who can be decisive about the elements in terms of the way they're going to coach their team. I didn't think it was going to look like that. But, you know, I always think back to obviously different games at different times, but I thought that there was one that was really fascinating, and it was the 2008 game between the Patriots and Colts at Indianapolis. Castle was the quarterback. And I think the final was like 15-13. And Belichick started going for it on fourth down in like third quarter. He's like, look, that's just the way the game was. Every possession was 12 plays in 8 minutes. We weren't going to get the ball back that many times. So we needed to maximize. And this was kind of the same game. You're going to do things that you wouldn't normally do.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Phil, this game, I think, leaves a mark on the Bills. I don't think it. I know it. You could almost hear it in Sean McDermott's words. Here's McDermott after the game talking about Bill Belichick's impact on the game as a head coach.
Yeah, it's not let's not give more credit than we need to give credit to Bill Belichick in this one. It was, whether it's Bill or anybody else, they beat us, right? But you sit here and you tell me when they start with the average starting, when we start with the average starting field position of the 40-yard line and he starts with the 23-yard line, and I'm rounding up in both cases, and we were 1-for-4 in the red zone and they're 0-for-1 in the red zone, you give me that ahead of time, I'm saying I like my chances. I like my chances. So it's not, I don't think, with all due respect, it's not a Bill Belichick type thing. It's what are you doing with the opportunities you got? What are you doing with the opportunities you got? We turned the ball over at the plus 30-some yard line. Sloppy football. Sloppy football. So I'm very comfortable in that situation.
Boy, Sean McDermott runs hot, Phil. Your ball. Take it.
He runs hot. He was running hot on the sidelines. And I don't think he's a bad coach, Tom. I just think he gets a little emotional. And I said that during the week. I believe I was talking to Zolak and Bertrand, just talking about the contrasting styles that these two teams have. And it extended to the sidelines. Bill Belichick, we've all seen the NFL films, compilation videos of the Patriots scoring touchdowns and him sitting there. No reaction. Sean McDermott is on the other end of the spectrum to me. And I think it does seep into how this team plays. They had 11 turnovers in their last four games coming into this game. Bad turnover early, a lot of self-inflicted wounds. I'm looking at just their first half offensive drives here. And, you know, it helped the Patriots as well. I mean, you've got a bad holding call on Kyle Van Noy. Then you've got third and set, you know, what was a third and seven turns into a third and 17. They have to punt. They've got, you know, all sorts of, they had a bad delay of game penalty that made a third down tougher for them to convert on. So the last 4 years, they've been a bottom 12 team in terms of penalty yardage. It's not a really disciplined team. And in a close game like this one, it felt like it really hurt them. I don't know why he feels like he has to go out of his way to try to take Bill Belichick down a notch after that game. I did feel like there was one interesting interaction there that we didn't play where he was asked about punt returners. He didn't have punt returners active for the game, or his normal punt returners at least active for their game. And he basically alluded to, well, you know, we saw what happened on the other side there, you know, as if to say, I wasn't going to make the mistake that Bill Belichick did of running somebody back there and then having somebody muff a punt, which that was a mistake on Bill Belichick's part. I'm sure Bill Belichick would even acknowledge that. But why do you got to go there after you lost? That's the thing to me. It's like, I don't know if this team knows how to handle success. They won the division 1 year last year, and they look like they're going to compete for a long time. But you keep getting in your own way, it's going to be hard to do that.
We will get to N'Keal Harry, and we're going to get to some outstanding defensive performances. But first, as an offshoot of McDermott's reaction, this was the reaction. And here's the interesting thing about Buffalo Bills media. They DGAF. They will ask whatever they want, whenever they want, however they want. It's not like New York either. People think like New York media is really hard bitten. They're not. It's the smaller media markets that are the more hard bitten and will ask really tough questions. Yeah, New York can be, but Buffalo is tough. And Jerry Sullivan has been a columnist up there for a long time. And we're going to play you a Jerry Sullivan question posed to safeties Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer and their reactions. You'll hear both their voices coming back, more Hyde at the end than Poyer. But here it is.
40 years since a team has won a game running that few times in a game. I mean, passing that few times. Is that embarrassing?
I mean, what kind of
boy, what are we doing, that? Bro?
What kind of question is that?
I think we keep
7 points.
Yeah, 14 to 10. Is that the final score?
We made stops when we had to. They had one big run. I mean, they got good backs. They kept coming back to a couple runs. I mean, I don't know how you want us to answer that question.
That's funny. Well, we'll remember that. I'll remember that.
I get it. You invoke the word embarrassed. Are you embarrassed by something? Especially after somebody ran on you for 299 yards, whatever the hell it was. Was it 299?
No. It was 222, I believe, by game's end. 222. Yeah.
Oh, it was 99 yards for the Bills. Be that as it may. 222 on 46. When you look at that, holy shit, the Patriots were tackled for a loss 8 times for 18 yards. It could have been even worse. Be that as it may. What do you make of that reaction from the Bills? Those are two leaders on that team, both of them, and they're both really good players. But it was an emasculating result, and this is how teams come undone against the Patriots, and I've been watching it since I wandered into a 2003 Titans locker room after the Patriots beat them in the playoffs and was told by whatever lineman that was that I can't remember his name at the moment, they're not better than us. We're a better team than them. They're lucky, which is the same thing Cordell Stewart said after the 2001 Patriots win. The better team didn't win today. This is the same stuff updated annually. What does it mean for this team, the Bills, in their next matchup, Philly?
Well, I think as important as it is for the Patriots, as we described off the top of the podcast, in terms of the emotional lift that you get from winning a game in that fashion and the confidence that you get knowing that no matter the conditions, we're going to have a plan for it, you create just as much concern on the opposite sideline. Man, if a team just decides they want to run against us, they're going to run for 200 plus yards. And Tom, this, by the way, I mean, I thought the Bills
talked about it.
I thought they might be a little bit dangerous though, coming into this game, because for weeks they've been hearing about how they are soft. It's not just us here in New England. We had, you know, Matt Fairburn who covered this team for years. Ty Dunn
is going to get annihilated. The Bills are going to get annihilated by their own media this week.
And it's because they very clearly have this one weakness. And so I think the reaction that you get from Micah Hyde and others tells you it's a perfect answer to that question. Are you embarrassed? What? Huh? Yeah. Based on the reaction, they don't need to say, yes, they're embarrassed. The reaction would tell you they're embarrassed because they know they have a problem and they can't solve it. And they play their games in Western New York and they're built in such a way that they can't solve it midseason. I think they would love to be able to, the way that the Patriots did really in 2018. I think the Patriots were sort of a slumbering physical team that didn't really it until they got into late that season. The Bills have wanted to be physical and show some toughness. And they had an opportunity tonight. They couldn't do it. The Patriots, I asked Bill Belichick after the game, didn't give much of an answer. But he and others in this with this team have said, listen, toughness is gauged by how you run it, how you stop the run, and how you cover kicks. They're running it like crazy. They've got, you know, N'Keal Harry aside, they've got one of the best special teams units in football this year. And really the Tennessee Titans game aside, over the last 2 months, they've been one of the best run defense teams in football. I think they know they're a tough team. I think that's why they're so happy going into this break.
And it's funny. It's not that the Bills, I don't think, are – they're not like the Rams were running around with Mark Barron at the second level and trying to get by with – rocked up safeties. It's just the Patriots are so friggin' violent in the run, in the running game. It's they would do this to many teams over the course of And then they're not the greatest running team in NFL history, but I'm not trying to say that. But this array of blockers and backs is the epitome of the rolling ball of butcher knives that we've heard about for decades covering this team from other.
Other teams, Tom, just don't have the size that they have, especially when one who's on the field, especially with Trent Brown. Shaq Mason's one of the best run blockers in football, and they don't have a fullback like Jakob Johnson. And they, even if they do, they don't use him as often. And so how they execute their blocks with some of these plays just isn't as seamless maybe as it is in other places. The only other places that use a fullback as often as the Patriots is San Francisco, Kyle Juszczyk, who's really more of a more of an H-back, I guess, you know, because he's so good in the passing game. And in Baltimore, they have a 300-pound fullback out of Maine, but they use him in a little bit different way. The running game is just very different there with the quarterback involved. So it's very rare that you see this downhill attacking style with massive offensive linemen and a really big, tough, strong fullback. And you can know what's coming. Everybody in the stadium can know what's coming. Doesn't mean you can stop it.
Yuck up my game, Paul. Phil, what in God's name was N'Keal Harry doing back there? Did anyone have an opportunity to ask Bill? And I'm not the guy who's going to criticize the media if they didn't do it.
No, he was asked about it. He was asked about it. And
what did he say?
I'm going to be honest with you. I was sitting in the front row. I was probably 4 feet from Bill Belichick. I couldn't understand what he said because it was so soft-spoken. If you had a chance to watch him on the broadcast after the game, you probably had a better idea of what he said than I did because he had the microphone right there in front of his face.
I think he
said something along the lines of, yeah, we may have a transcript right now. We got to work on our ball security there. It was something to that effect. But I'll try to find it. Tom, I don't get it. He hasn't returned while you're looking for the transcript. He has not returned a punt as a pro. He was drafted in 2019. Not only that, but he has, as far as we can tell from the practice reps that we've seen, especially in training camp, he has typically not been among their top three, I would say, punt return options.
He's not been real adept. It's a Jakobi Meyers. It's
Gunnar Olszewski, one. Meyers, two, I would say. Kyle Duggar. Duggar has been back there at times. We've seen running backs back there at times. Brandon Bolden, James White.
It's wild. It was a bizarre decision. We've seen in the past in weather games where the Patriots would have one guy real deep and then say Kevin Falk in front of him.
They did that. So Gunnar was in front of Harry on this play.
Yeah. Right? So they figured it would be shorter, even though I don't think it was a punt into the wind.
It was with the wind, right?
So maybe thinking, okay, well, it might get knuckled because whatever. But I don't get having him on the field without the express Cam Acord, special teams coach, having said to him, look, if it's bouncing, get away from it. This is 2021 and you're a first round pick in the NFL. You should know that. Bizarre. Just bizarre.
You know what's so weird about it though is he chased after it initially. You know, Gunnar reads it right, and then he turns and says something to Harry.
Mm-hmm.
Harry's trying to track it. He slips it basically as he made his break toward the ball. And from there, he just had no control over his body. You know, to watch the body control that somebody like Stephon Diggs has along the sideline versus what N'Keal Harry showed on that play, it's like, I mean, he's stumbling around out there like a baby deer.
Yeah, it was like watching, like when a kid's just has gone from creeping around the, and then he starts taking those steps really fast, and you
totally
know,
totally top heavy and yeah, like just unable to understand where his body is in relation to the football. But that's what the issue was. But again, you run into those issues when you have zero punt return experience in the NFL. He returned punts at Arizona State, and he was pretty effective with them, but very questionable decisions. The only reason, Tom, you mentioned it earlier, it's the only reason it was a close game. I mean, yeah, it really should have been a more dominant performance than it even was, if not for that one call.
We're going to have Cyrus Jones and Chris Harper on later in the week to discuss the decision made.
Chris Harper. I hadn't thought about that name in a while.
Let's flip it back to something a little bit more appetizing, and that's the defensive side of the ball, and then we'll put a lid on this thing because it's getting late. But Godshaw, Barmore, Judon, Van Noy, your guy Miles, Adrian Phillips, J.C. Jackson, just balling. Accurate?
Accurate. I throw a Lawrence guy in there as well. It really felt like the Bills were not able to run inside hardly at all. And so I thought Godshaw was in the mix on a lot of plays. Lawrence Guy was in the mix. Christian Barmore on a couple of different occasions had some pressures that I thought were impactful. He had one hit in particular that was certainly impactful. Matt Judon put a huge lick on Josh Allen and ended up having a really critical sack. I thought it was an interesting decision, Tom, for the Bills to kick that field goal late that they tried from 33 yards away, which would have made it a one-point game. But they had just thrown an incompletion into the end zone. The play before that, Judon sacks Josh Allen, and that ends up being huge because I think if they had tried that field goal, if it had been just 1 yard even closer, if it was a 32-yarder instead of a 33-yarder, I think that is a good field goal. Are you with me on that?
Yeah, I am. I'm just mesmerized by Sean McDermott's head on another screen that I was looking at while you were talking, and I apologize.
Mesmerizing head. I just want to thank you for not mentioning what's on my head. You haven't even touched the beanie conversation, even though I'm inside. I just feel like my hair would be just so distracting for the viewers on YouTube that I just said, you know what? Screw it. I'll just keep the beanie on. Keep this.
The only thing that I could say is that it looks like a prophylactic, so I decided out of good taste, I would not say it at all.
Wow. You've been thinking that all night? I've been on TV since 4 o'clock this afternoon.
You have.
You weren't going to say that once?
You've gotten the MVP easily.
So the front played really well. But, Tom, I loved that play from Miles Bryant at the end to break up that pass near the goal line. They're in man-to-man coverage, and they're sending pressure. They played a lot more man. It felt like to me, I'll have to go back and check and see what, see what maybe some of the percentages were, if we can figure that out.
A lot of third down man.
A lot of man on third down and bringing pressure. And they really have been a very zone-heavy team, although they mixed in man quite a bit on third downs. But they brought pressure. Miles Bryant's in man, understanding they're bringing pressure. He's, even though he's in man, as he's tracking Cole Beasley across the goal line, he's starting to look into the backfield because he knows the ball has to come out. Mm-hmm. We brought more people than they can block. This ball has to be thrown. Like, what's going on, Matt? Like if nothing else, he wants to see the guy get sacked probably. So he's turning and he's looking, and that awareness, that understanding of the call, that understanding that the ball has to come out lets his eyes take him to a place where he ends up making a huge play and getting his hands on that football. He's a smart player, Tom. He plays that star position in the slot there. He talked about it last week when I asked him about it. He said it's a little bit corner. It's a little bit linebacker. It's a little bit safety. You have to be really smart to play that spot. Jonathan Jones is really smart. Miles Bryant is really smart. He played a little bit of free safety today. He is a classic Patriots pickup from a couple of years ago. Undrafted, has been on the practice squad, has worked his way into a critical role, and he makes a critical play tonight. I thought this was going to be a tough matchup for him because even though Beasley's been hurt, I thought – the win like this, the short passing game might be a bigger factor, and he might have a hard time because Beasley's a really talented slot receiver. He ends up making one of the biggest plays of the game.
Really gutsy call, and you could see Bill Belichick celebrating with his son, Steven, who's a defensive play caller, after that pressure, because that was a balls-out play. I mean, to pressure Josh Allen at the end of the game and know that they would be disciplined enough in their rush to get there. I mean, he's not going to run on, what the hell was it, fourth? It was a fourth down play.
Fourth down, yeah.
And it was fourth and goal. Whatever. He wasn't
Sean Davis. How was Sean Davis getting in the mix too? Adrian Phillips leaves with a knee injury, and they actually used him before Phillips went out. But Sean Davis, practice squad call up, the guy who was
I know a Carl Davis. I know a Corey Davis. I do not know a Sean Davis.
You don't know a Corey Davis. You know Cody Davis.
Cody Davis. Look, it's post-pandemic. I'm not there in the locker room all the time. I don't see the fellas like I
used to. Now you've got Sean Davis. And so Sean Davis is the guy that Rob Gronkowski was laughing at in the end zone when he played for the Steelers back in the day. Do you remember this? This was what year was that? Was it
2018?
2018?
Or was it the great comeback win?
Or yes, it was.
All right, that was 2018, I think.
No, 2018. They lost in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, they lost.
So it was 2017, I want to say, or 16.
That was a great game. That was a great.
It was after the game, and you spoke to him about pliability, I think, and wasn't he showing you?
No, that was the Super Bowl when he was showing me his bruise and shit.
No, he like, I remember you talking about this.
Oh, when he started jumping around.
He started jumping around and like stretching for you.
Yeah. I miss that guy.
Well, because he caught one off his shoe tops that game.
Oh, anyway. Yes. Yeah, that low pass. Hey, anyway, but aside from that, one last question I want to ask you is, one overarching theme to this entire season is, of course, Bill Belichick renovated his roster. He didn't have a quarterback. He found a quarterback. He killed it in the draft the last 2 years. All the money he spent in free agency has panned out 80%. He's got his quarterback now. He hasn't gone to the playoffs yet. They haven't played in an AFC championship yet. But has he done enough quickly enough to put to rest the, well, I guess it was Tom. I never, ever thought that Bill Belichick was a less than coach. I've always thought that he's the greatest coach of all time. I thought the last decade belonged to Brady from 2010 to 2019 in the way the first decade belonged to Belichick. So I don't think that Belichick needed to prove a lot, but he needed to prove something. Has he already proven it, Phil? Based upon where he is now after 13 games. Is it 13? Are they 9-4?
They're 9-4.
Jesus. And I had them at 11 or 12 wins. I can't remember which, but be that as it may. So it ain't a stunner, but the way in which they're doing it is jaw-dropping.
Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. I guess whether or not he's proven something depends on whether or not you felt as though he needed to, or to what extent he needed to prove something. Meaning, if you were looking at this and saying, well, but without Tom, can he really win the big one? Like, those people aren't going to feel as though he's quote unquote proven anything unless he actually gets to the last game.
They won't. And I said that, you know, it's Felger has said he has to win a Super Bowl without him. I said, all that has to happen is the Patriots have to return to the AFC elite, and the quarterback that he replaces Brady with has to be as good as or better than Jimmy Garoppolo, because that was Belichick's first intention, was Jimmy Garoppolo.
He's already there to me.
Kind of already satisfied. He has answered he's answered the naysayers. He's answered the people like me who said at the end of last year, now what are you going to do about it? You chase the best player of all time out of town. You didn't want him around. You made it clear, no matter how much we try and put a buffeted shine on it, you held the door. He walked through it. You guys are good now, which is great for everybody going forward. But what are you going to do now, Bill? You have all the cash. You still have a void at quarterback because you haven't done dick. Now what? I found out. I fucked around and found out.
For the defense, Tom, to be playing the way it's playing, for the kicking game to be playing the way it's playing, and it is one of the best in football by a bunch of different measures, whether you're talking about average starting field position or EPA per special teams snap, for those two areas to be as effective as they are and for Mac Jones to be as effective as he is in year one, I think just speaks so highly of the program.
Mm-hmm.
And when he gets his pieces in place, which he told us in the middle of last year, and, you know, was it excuse making? Was it just reality? Well, you know, it was a reset year. I think we can look back on that now and be like, got it. You're right. You're right. Because you got a bunch of money. You spent it in a bunch of different places. It's almost all worked out. And you're 9-4 and you're the best team in the conference.
I was circumspect. Tip of the cap. As to, yeah. Look, I understood what he was doing. I understood the landscape. I just didn't think he'd be able to pull it off. And then when he added all the guys, I said, okay, well, he's going to be able to pull it off. And he's going to win a bunch of games because he's still the greatest coach there is. They won 7 games with that shit-ass roster last year.
He's done it so quickly too, Tom. Daniel Jeremiah on NextPats last week said, I think he's just messing with everybody now because he pretty much has the greatest coach thing locked up. Now he's just going for executive. He's just going for greatest executive of all time too. And, you know, with the way he's built this thing back up as quickly as he has, you compound that on top of all the good moves he's made to help sustain this thing with Brady for as long as they did, it blows you away.
And this night, I think, again, shows that Bill Belichick, to an extent, he's just showing off sometimes. Maybe he's just showing off. Phil, we appreciate you. Next Pats will be on Monday. I believe it's, Tuesday at 6 o'clock. Quick Slants will follow right up after that. And then, of course, we get Celtics basketball later in the week. We will visit you during the bye week. Maybe we'll talk some draft. We'll talk some of the top prospects.
We'll be doing a little bit of draft during the bye. We'll be doing a little bit.
Yeah, I was skulking around in some of the college stuff today. For no good reason. Appreciate you, Phil. Appreciate you, Skull Crusher John Henry. And we will talk to you later in the week, folks.